Blog Talk Radio.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night, I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day, I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on Rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, The Wiretap, The Millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On Rumble.com.
Hello to all you nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am The Wiretap. I am here to represent Weizsäcker Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all you 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in the Wuhan laboratory, but you are not dying fast enough. So we now have Weizsäcker Suicide Pods. You can now rush out and die in our Suicide Pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, gray or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your rashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne Compete Tube. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Lysnicka suicide pod. Thank you.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireless. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. Should have listened to Trump. That's the focus of tonight's angle. Now, when President Donald Trump, speaking at the UN, warned Germany and the rest of Europe about becoming too reliant on Russian energy, remember, they literally laughed at him.
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. We are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
Cut that out. Of course, when Russia invaded Ukraine and sanctions against Russia were put in place, we saw Trump was right. Now, don't forget how at the time President Trump was criticized nonstop by our press. His America First views, including his demands that Europe start paying more for their own defense, were slammed by European leaders, especially the globalist Emmanuel Macron.
Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is a betrayal of it. In saying, our interests first, and who cares about the rest, you wipe out what's most valuable about a nation, its moral values.
Now, just as Obama, years earlier, had dismissed the idea of American exceptionalism, Macron, like Merkel of Germany, he was repulsed by Trump's anti-globalist message. And, of course, most of the press corps agreed wholeheartedly. To them, Trump was the epitome of the ugly American, and Biden's election was a huge relief.
So the Democratic world breathed a sigh of relief that Joe Biden is there and the U.S. gets ready to be welcomed back into the Democratic fold.
It's been such a great relief the world over that he has been defeated. And that Joe Biden has been elected president of the United States.
A huge sense of relief in European capitals. Europe has a real friend again in the White House.
Of course, Europe was ecstatic about Biden because they knew they could roll him. And they could continue free riding on our military budget and even side with our adversary with impunity. Which brings us to current day, where that exact scenario is playing out. And tonight I'm going to say it's official. That cute little Frenchman has a man crush. French President Emmanuel Macron had a long date with President Xi this past weekend, and it was a whirlwind romance in Beijing. And although no specific commitments were announced, things move very fast. But I guess when you know, right? And the affair even ended with a big promo video.
Je crois qu'il y a une attraction réciproque entre la Chine et la France. Une fascination, une amitié, un chemin un peu singulier. Nous avons aujourd'hui à œuvrer pour éviter toute escalade et tout à la fois préserver et réinventer un ordre international de paix et de stabilité.
Very exciting. And then Macron let it be known that France needed to break free from its old monogamous relationship with America. Now, when he was asked about supporting our efforts to defend Taiwan should China decide to invade, the little chap answered with a question. Is it in our interest to accelerate a crisis with Taiwan? No, he said, urging Europe not to become followers of ours on the China question. Well, the truth is, for some time, little Emmanuel has been arguing for autonomy for Europe, basically for his entire tenure now. Now, if only he meant it. If only Europe could be self-sufficient, we could have saved, what, $200 billion that we've now blown in Ukraine to basically create a standoff with Russia? But as it stands now, Joe Biden's foreign policy is the definition of insanity. Now, just as Trump predicted, it is illogical and self-defeating. First, we're spending a fortune in a proxy war with Ukraine, carrying the lion's share of the burden against Russia. Second, we continue to demand nothing but love from Europe in return. Third, we say nothing publicly when Macron stabs us in the face over China and Taiwan. Fourth, we continue to make China rich by trading with them as a most favored nation. And fifth, China's massive trade surplus with us helps them continue their military buildup, which is threatening a military takeover of Taiwan. Six, our own military leaders are doubting our ability to defend Taiwan. So I ask you tonight, how does any of this make any sense? Now remember, with great fanfare, Biden thought that he could build a new alliance with Europe by essentially just sucking up to them.
When autocrats are challenging the very foundations of a rule-based order, the strength of the transatlantic alliance and America's commitment to NATO is more important than it's ever been. Our alliance is closer than ever. It is more united than ever.
He was wrong. Republicans in Congress can certainly vote to keep funding the defense of Europe, but they shouldn't ever expect that Europe is going to do anything for us in return. It is literally a gift from the American taxpayers to a continent that has just come to hate us. And there's absolutely no point at all, as we're analyzing any of this, of blaming Macron. Why blame him? The wee one is just telling us all finally the truth. Europeans do not care that China has become, in many ways, more powerful than the United States. In fact, they seem to welcome it because they think it gives them more leverage over us. The fact that Macron is making all of this clear, the angle thinks is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's better to know the truth now than to build a foreign policy on the hopes that somehow we're going to get all this support from Europe, only to be disappointed when the crisis comes. But now we know. France has given China a green light to take Taiwan whenever it wants. Now we need to make our own choices about what to do between now and then. Now, beginning way back in 2015, Donald Trump argued that the big countries of Western Europe often didn't really act like allies at all. He pointed out that Europe runs a huge trade surplus with the United States and that they repeatedly violated their promise to spend at least 2% of their GDP on defense. And of course, that their climate change edicts were harmful to our interests.
Who's your biggest competitor, your biggest foe globally right now?
Well, I think we have a lot of foes. I think the European Union is a foe, what they do to us in trade. Now, you wouldn't think of the European Union, but they're a foe. In a trade sense, they've really taken advantage of us.
He was 100% right. He knew Europe would never support us against China. Of course, when the globalist figurehead, Joe Biden, ended up in the White House, the establishment's pro-Europe approach was given another go. And no surprise, it has been a total and complete disaster. Biden gave up most of our trade leverage, dropped tariffs on steel and aluminum against Europe. He gutted our energy independence. He rejoined the Paris Accords, giving the Europeans more leverage to push us around on emissions issues. And despite Biden's claims that he was going to support more manufacturing in America, he buckled the moment Macron complained, promising to tweak our policy to help European businesses. Oh, and about that trade deficit? Well, last year, our trade deficit in goods from the EU alone was over $200 billion for the second year in a row. So it didn't take the CCP's media long, of course, to celebrate that propaganda victory. So the debate over Europe between Trump and the establishment has now been settled. Trump was right. They don't care about any international rules-based order. If they did, they would not be giving fist bumps to President Xi. So no wonder our economy is in so much trouble. No wonder China has overtaken us as the most powerful country in the world. And no wonder our geopolitical position has collapsed. Our leaders are idealistic morons. And until we get leaders who see the world as it is, not as some globalist fantasy, President Xi's influence will only grow. And that's the angle.
New York for this arraignment. The world watched it. You've not given an interview since. You were there, I think, 57 minutes. Tell us from your perspective what that was like.
Well, it was a horrible thing because I did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. You look at even the pundits and the legal analysis, Greg Jarrett, all of these really talented people, they're saying he didn't do anything wrong. So that's number one. Number two, they were incredible. When I went to the courthouse, which is also a prison in a sense, they signed me in. And I'll tell you, people were crying. People that work there, professionally work there, that have no problems putting in murderers and they see everybody. It's tough, tough place. And they were crying. They were actually crying. They said, I'm sorry. They'd say, 2024, sir, 2024. And tears are pouring down their eyes. I've never seen anything like those people are phenomenal. Those are your police.
Yep.
Those are the people that work at the courthouse. They're unbelievable people. Many of them were in tears or close to it. Many apologists were sorry, sir, were sorry. They had to have me do certain things. They said, sir, I can't believe I have to ask you. I can't even believe that I have to ask you to do it. You could see. So in one sense, it was beautiful because they get it. In another sense, you know, it's nasty. I went to the Wharton School of Finance. They didn't teach me about that. That wasn't like
they
any talk.
About the arraignment
no, that
part?
We didn't have a class on arraignment. And, you know, it was a sad day in many ways. And in many ways, it was a beautiful day because the people understand. I didn't know this was happening, but the poll numbers have gone through the roof. The people get it. And the other ones are hoaxes also. You know, the box hoax. Biden's got 1,850 boxes. And, you know, that's a hoax. And then the one in Atlanta where I had a perfect phone call. This is all weaponization. They're weaponizing our justice system, Tucker. And they think if they go and give you a subpoena, you know, I guess I'm very well known and people understand it and they get it. And maybe I have a bigger platform so I can explain it. But if you're somebody, a Republican, let's say, running for office, and you get a subpoena, you might as well resign because you're not going to be able to survive it. And the voters aren't going to handle it. The voters aren't going to take it. What they're doing is weaponizing the system, and there's never been anything like it. And it's all disinformation. You see, the other day, Afghanistan, one of the worst things I've ever seen, I think the most embarrassing moment that this country's ever had, frankly, the way we got out, not the getting out. We had to get out. It was ridiculous to be there. And I had that so good, so tight, so tough. I spoke to the leader, Abdul. I said, Abdul, if you do anything, you're going to get hit really hard. Literally, he said, but sir, why? He goes, why, oh, why do you send me a picture of my house? I said, you'll have to figure that one out, Abdul. But we didn't have one death in 18 months. He knew. Not one death. And then to see the way we got out, like we were surrendering, like taking the military out first, leaving $85 billion worth of equipment behind, giving up Bagram. I was going to keep Bagram. I was getting out, but not for Afghanistan. It's 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons. It's one of the biggest Air Force bases in the world, I think the biggest, with runways that go 10,000 feet. I was keeping that because of China, not because of Afghanistan.
Right.
And they left everything. They left in the dark of night. They left the lights on. They left the dogs, by the way. You know, the people
say
about
the dogs.
They left the dogs. Everyone, you know, the dog lovers, and you got a lot of them. I love dogs. You love dogs. But they left the dogs. People said, what? One of the first questions I got, what did they do with the dogs? Mostly German shepherds. They left them. What they did, the way they got out, was so horrible. Okay, everybody knows that was their plan. That had nothing to do with me. I was getting out, too. We would have gotten out with strength and dignity. And what happened? They got out. And the other day I hear, yeah, it was Trump's fault. Oh, that's right. It was Trump. I was gone for a long time. I would have been out faster than them. We would have had all the equipment. We would have had the American citizens. We left hostages. We left Americans behind. Many. I think many more than you think. And we had 13 soldiers killed. And nobody ever mentions the fact that we had many maimed so badly. No arms, no legs. Their face was obliterated. This is the way this guy got out. We would have gotten out with dignity and strength. We were going to. But I was taking 100% of... I said, I want every nail. I want every screw. I want the tents. They said, sir, the tents are very hard to take out. I said, I want the tents. I want the tanks. I want the planes. I want everything. And a couple of them fought me on it. Like Millie. He said, sir, I think it's cheaper to leave the equipment behind. I said, let me ask you, we have a plane that costs $100 million. It's sitting there. All it needs is a tank of gas, right? Give me a little jet fuel. We'll fly it to Pakistan or any place else, or we'll fly it directly home. You say it's cheaper to leave a $100 million plane. Sir, I think overall it's cheaper. These are idiots we're dealing with. They left $85 billion worth of equipment. They left our American citizens behind. And they moved the military out first. No, you moved the military out last. I did a little skit with a five-year-old kid. I said, let me ask you, here's the situation. I explained the situation. I said, Would you take the military out first, or would you take it out last? I take it out last, five-year-old. But they took the military out first, and they were afraid of our military. When I was there, they were afraid. We didn't have one soldier killed in 18 months, Stephen. Not one soldier was killed in 18 months. And then we got out like we surrendered. I think it was the single most embarrassing day in the history of our country. It was totally their fault. They didn't go by anything because, you know, we had a system of getting out. But if the Taliban, in particular the Taliban, because that's where the action was, right? When I called Abdul, the press went crazy. The fake news went crazy. Why did he call an enemy? I said, well, it's Jesse James. I used to ask him, why did he rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. Why did I call the head of the Taliban? Because that's where the killing was. And he's there now, Abdul. I'm sure he likes me. Call me Your Excellency. I don't know if he calls Biden Your Excellency. Probably. I mean, you know, they're one of the largest arms dealers now in the world. They're selling the $85 billion worth of it because they only need 5% of it.
Of course.
They're selling the equipment. They're one of the largest, I think, second arms dealers. Brand new helicopters, brand new airplanes, brand new tanks. Unbelievable what we left behind. We ran, and there was no reason to. I had them. I could have stayed there for 5 years if I wanted to. I wanted out. 21 years was enough. I wanted out. We shouldn't have been there in the first place. But when I see what happens, when I see the level of stupidity, and because of that, it's all a big web. Because of that, I think Putin, who would have never gone into Ukraine when I was there, would have never, I talked to him about it often, would have never, ever done that. When he saw that I wasn't there, and he saw these fools, these stupid people, and think of that, the way they left Afghanistan, and nobody was fired. I fired a lot of people because if they didn't do a good job at farming.
Let me ask, you talked to Putin about Ukraine. What did you say to him?
I could see that he loved it. And I said...
He loved Ukraine.
He considers it to be a part of Russia.
Yeah.
I said, not when I'm president. We had a very good relationship. I was the worst thing that ever happened to him. I closed up his pipeline. You never heard the words Nord Stream 2 until I came along. Nord Stream 2 was their pipeline. And I had a great relationship with them, but it was very tough because they had a fake Russia investigation. And I told them, and he told me, he said, it's very hard for us to deal, don't you think? I said, very hard, because we have a fake investigation that turned out to be a fake. For 2 years it went on, and we could have done very well with Russia. They have great minerals, they have great things that we want, we could have, and they need the money and they need other things. But that interfered. That was a terrible thing. That was actually a treasonous thing to do. Those people should have been arrested. They made it up. They made up a problem with Russia that didn't exist. Now they've all admitted it didn't exist. It was just on to the next one. I often say, they said to me the other day, one of your fellow journalists said, who's the biggest problem, sir? Is it China? Could it be Russia? Could it be North Korea? No, I said, the biggest problem is from within. It's these sick, radical people from within, because we can handle, if we're smart, we can handle Russia, China. I did. I took in billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars from China. No other president took in anything, and they respected me. He's the same thing, you know. I told him, you can't go into Taiwan. You can't. You can't do it. I won't tell you exactly what I said, but it was something that probably a lot of people wouldn't like if they heard it, but it was very tough. Don't go into Taiwan. If you do, we're going to have problems. Other than that, we're going to be great relationship. We're going to have a great relationship. And he said to me when I said we're going to do something, if he goes in, no, 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 you wouldn't do it. I'll do that. I swear I'll do that. And he didn't believe me, but he believed me 10%. The same thing with Putin. I said I was going to do something really nasty if he goes into Ukraine. He said, no, you're not going to do that. I said, I will. And he didn't believe me either, but he believed me 10%. And the 10%, you never heard talk about going into Ukraine. You never heard talk about going into Taiwan until I was no longer there. Now, what a mess the world is in. What a mess.
Covering the weather beat here in Whiskey Palm Beach. Actually, we're here to interview the former president and now the Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump. While the rest of us have spent the last 2.5 years arguing about systemic racism and trans rights and other ephemera, other imaginary things, America's position globally has eroded so fast it defies belief. But Donald Trump has noticed things have really changed since he left office, and that's the topic of this next part of the conversation. Here it is. You said at the time when you were president that going to war with Russia, either hot war or cold war, would drive Russia into an alliance with China.
I did.
And that would displace us as the most powerful nation.
I did. But we have a bigger problem. The bigger problem is the weaponry. The weaponry today is so powerful. This isn't like Second World War where we have army tanks running around shooting each other. This is weapons the likes of which the world has never seen before. And they have them and we have them. And China has them less, but within 5 years, China will have equal to us. China, I'm talking about nuclear. China has the beginnings of a very big, very powerful nuclear. They're short 5 years. They had started much later. Russia and us are comparable. Massive power, massive. And that's one of the things.
More than people understand, do you
More
think?
Than people understand, yeah. Yeah, more.
Were
and
you
they,
surprised?
They don't understand the power. If you look at Hiroshima, as some people call it, if you look at Nagasaki, you look at those two events took place many, many years ago, and multiply that power times 500. That's what you're talking about. Where it actually melted the granite. You know, granite is unmeltable by blowtorches.
Yes.
But the granite, if you look at granite areas, it's like water that got, you know, hardened, like an ice skating rink. It melted the granite. If you look at that and multiply it times 500, that's what you're talking about. When I listen to people talk about global warming, that the ocean will rise in the next 300 years by 1/8 of an inch, and they talk about this is our problem. Our big problem is nuclear warming. Right? Nobody even talks about it. The environmentalists talk about all this nonsense in many cases. Look, I'm an environmentalist also, I guess, in my own way, because I've done a good job with the environment. But nobody talks about nuclear, the problem we have, the biggest problem we have in the whole world. It's not global warming. It's nuclear warming. And all it takes is one madman, and you're going to have a problem the likes of which the world has never seen. And it's only a matter of seconds. You don't have to wait 200 to 300 years for it to happen.
So what you're saying is demonstrably true. Why is this not something our leaders talk about or the press talks about?
Because I don't think they're smart. I don't think they get it. Putin got it. I would talk to him about it all the time. I never mentioned the word nuclear. You never heard me mention the word. You know, my uncle was a professor, a great professor at MIT for a long time. I think he has the longest, Dr. John Trump. And he would talk about a lot of different things, and it was very interesting to me for years. I talked to him, passed away. He's a great, great gentleman. I think it's the longest tenured professor in the history of MIT, but if he wasn't, he was very close, because he was there for almost 40 years. And we talk about things, and he said, you know, someday they'll have a suitcase, and in that suitcase, it'll be nuclear, and you'll blow up New York City out of a suitcase. And I said, no, Uncle John, that can't possibly. He's right. The power is so incredible. You can fire up a submarine and run it for years on essentially a tablet. Run it for years. So when we talk about war, and when I watch all of the people talking about Ukraine and how's Ukraine doing, blah, 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 Russia's sitting back. First of all, Ukraine's being obliterated.
Yes.
Okay, let's not even talk nuclear. But let's say it wasn't. Let's say they were doing better than anticipated. If he decided to use his second form of destruction, which is nuclear, that's the end of that. You understand? And I know where you are in Ukraine, so I mean, you understand it better than most. Most people don't. Most people don't even talk about it. They don't talk about the fact that he has equal to the United States in nuclear capability and destruction. And so I watch all of this happening, and it's so sad.
But can I just ask, the Biden people know the power of nuclear weapons. They now control our arsenal. They don't seem worried about this.
That's because they don't understand life. They don't understand whatever it is that you have to understand. You know, it's very interesting. At the very beginning, Biden was very afraid of nuclear because I watched him and he was, oh, they have nuclear weapons. Oh, they, which was exactly the wrong signal to send. You don't do that. But if you go back and check your files, you'll see Biden early on saying, oh, well, we can't do this. They have nuclear weapons. Well, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to act that way.
Yeah.
But he was very afraid of nuclear. I said, you know, you got to be a little bit cooler than that. But what happened is now that nobody talks about it, but every day Putin mentions it, and every day other people mention it, and now all of a sudden, if you look, other countries are talking about getting it. This was something you don't mention. I call it the N-word. You have two N-words. You don't mention either one of them. The nuclear word you don't mention because the power is so destructive. I met with professors at MIT, and I was preparing for a debate. I wouldn't say it was a long preparation, but I did want to talk about nuclear because I consider it to be the single greatest threat the world has, far greater than global warming. It's like not even a contest. And I had these people come down that were very smart, very expert, and I said, so when we start talking about nuclear in a debate, how would you handle it? And they looked at me, one in particular, and said, sir, you can't talk about it. You cannot talk about it. I said, what does that mean? He said, it is so massive, it is so destructive that you cannot talk about it. I understood exactly what he meant. And we stayed away from it for the most part. But now Putin's mentioning it all the time. We don't mention, but Putin's always mentioning it. You've heard him say it. We are a nuclear power. He said not so long ago, I said, that's the first time I've heard a major country. You know, you do hear it talked about, and I did a good job. I did a great job with North Korea, Kim Jong-un. You went with me on a trip. You insulted him, which didn't make my life too easy, but that's okay. But you were there, one of the few. And it was an amazing, it had to be one of the most incredible experiences for you.
For sure.
But it was amazing. We had thousands of reporters. They weren't treated particularly nicely either, by the way, but I got along great with him. And because of that, started rough, remember, with, you know, Rocket Man, Little Rocket Man. And he said, I have a button on my desk, a red button. I said, I have a red button on my desk too. Mine's bigger and mine works, yours doesn't. And this went on for a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, the log jam was broken and he wanted to meet. And we did meet. And we get along great. To this day, we get along great. He won't talk to Biden. He won't even talk to these people. He won't even talk to them. He has no respect for him. He's a man. He'd like, if he respects you, he'll respect you. He wouldn't talk to Obama. Obama tried to get meetings with him. He wouldn't meet with him. He met with me. I met with him twice. I would have had a deal worked out with him. He's got tremendous nuclear capability. It's the single biggest problem. Maybe this show's more important than even I thought it might be, because somebody's got to understand what has to happen, and they have to de-escalate.
So how would you do that now?
Well, now, so you have a problem. You got this crazy world is blowing up, and the United States has absolutely no say, and Macron, who's a friend of mine, is over with China, kissing his ass, okay, in China. I said, France is now going to China. You take a look at Saudi Arabia. Look at what happened. They're great people. They wanted to help us. He goes over and gets a fist pump. You know what a fist pump means? Don't shake my hand because your hand's dirty. That's what a fist pump is. They got it. They were so insulted. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to shake your hand. Let's go fist pump.
All right, everybody. I think we're good now. So welcome to the Proof Negative show tonight. We spent a little bit of time playing some clips. V, are you ready to come join us here? Welcome to the Proof Negative show, everyone. I will be with you until midnight Eastern. That is 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. If you have anything you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. B, you didn't press one. I don't know whether to draft you in here or not. So I'll take my chances here.
Hello.
B, were you ready to join us, or did you need some time?
No. I was just rinsing off some strawberries. I hope you don't mind that.
Oh, I don't care. I like strawberries.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing okay. Medically, I'm doing a lot better than anyone expected.
Thank goodness. God is good.
So I should be somewhere close to 100% allegedly in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Excellent.
But we'll see on that, because the week before when I went, they told me that I'd be looking at June before I would be fully healed. And I got out of the boot on my right foot last week. So
nice. Good.
Yeah, they didn't expect that until May, so we'll see.
Wow.
I'm trying.
A long way, mister. Yeah. You're doing your thing, man. You're taking your antibiotics. You're checking your blood sugar. You're doing all the things.
Well, the antibiotics are done, so I'm done with that. My 6 weeks are over.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe it's been that long already, but it is.
Yeah, it feels like a long time, and it was. not for nothing. But, man, still, excuse me, you just, yeah. I mean, you put a little scare in me. I was, like, wondering what the heck. Two hospital trips, you know?
Yeah. And then our new co-host, they were thinking, wow, this guy must always be injured or something because he's not showing up for his shows.
Right. I mean, things happen. Life happens.
Yeah. So we missed you last week.
Yeah, it was wild. First of all, my son scared the mess out of me. He just started projectile vomiting through the whole house. And I was like, what's going on? And we thought it was, he said, I ate too fast. And I was like, are you sure about that? And he's like, yeah. But the vomiting continued. He left here. He went to his dad's house, which was so convenient. And he ended up puking over there, too. So I was just, like, stuck here cleaning. Where I was, you know, I thought, all right, just give me some time because my daughter came and she wanted me to cook and not have me busy in the kitchen. And it gets noisy. You know, I have a fan going when I cook and it's loud and, you know, all that stuff. But she came at the last minute and I was just, like, scrambling to put stuff together for her. She's always hungry when she comes over here, poor kid. I don't know what her deal is. I'm broke and hungry.
So Kayla's moving to Tuesdays, and then if you have to move, then you guys will just swap.
Oh, I gotcha. Good. All right. So she's not here right now?
Yeah, correct.
Gotcha. Well, that works.
So we could talk crypto for a quick second. I saw my portfolio went up like $58 over the last day and a half.
Oh, of your own money. Well, I saw a few of them really stick out. Obviously, Bitcoin. And I think, you know, the more the government pushes for that crypto, you know, their digital currency, the more they make a case for Bitcoin. And people are obviously going to it. Then Solana surprised me. When I first was told about Solana by our mutual friend, it was about $8. So, you know, Solana has soared beyond that. And then it settled at its correction at an affordable price for myself, which I took advantage of. And now it's starting to make its way back up. So it's catching attention to the point that it made headlines and stuff like that, which is good. I just want to bring it up.
Yes, so it's right at about $25 a coin.
Right. And I think it wasn't that long ago. Like, I think it was just November. It was like $15 or something like that. And now,
and everybody, if you do not live in New York, if you're on Coinbase, you get 2.4% interest.
great. That makes me so mad. Definitely looking forward to moving out of the state.
Yeah, but a lot of stuff is up between 3% and 8% today, I see.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at Anheuser-Busch and how much they lost for, you know, their recent ad with Dylan Mulvaney, I think they lost somewhere around 3% to 4%, and it came to about $5 billion. So you have a lot of money at stake.
Someone earlier today posted that they're at over $7 billion lost now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw early this morning it was $5 billion. That's amazing. It's not selling, so nobody's going to be buying it. You're going to have less distributors. And their shareholders are going to be very upset.
Well, they chose somebody that hated Bud Light so much. And seriously, when that lady does an interview, she talks about how much she hated Bud Light.
Yeah, she talks about how it was a fratty beer and needed a new image. Like, what? You don't know your customer base. They need it to be more inclusive. Says who? That's not, honestly, I hate to say it, but that's not the first woman that's taken a position, a high up position in corporate that has ruined a brand or ruined a company. There's a woman who took over Yahoo that destroyed it.
Oh, I remember that.
She was spending ridiculous amounts of money making sure everybody had free lunch every day. So ridiculous. These female saviors. So now what? Do we have women who graduate these schools and are indoctrinated beyond anything we see in the mainstream media and who believe and bought into the whole white fragility thing, who were in a position to actually make an impact on something real outside of their ideology and their own selves in their little circle?
But let me ask you, and you might know more than me, because I'm out. I'm not cool. I'm not going to profess to be cool. But from what I've read, all the young kids, beer is not their thing. It's all about
right,
white claw.
That's true. There's all these seltzer drinks that people like. It's true. Even my son, he likes these, he's 21 going on 22. He drinks these... They're coolers by Jack Daniels. And he likes them very much. It's very strange, but you're right. They're not really into beer. And it's funny, when he did buy beer, it was Bud Light. So we had tons of cans sitting around. And well, he hates the whole thing, too. You know, he's like, this used to be considered a mental illness. How is this celebrated? He's like,
well, when the inmates
are
running the asylum... But it's about tribalism. It's about putting people in boxes so that you could take them over.
That's right.
But the thing is, and I talked about this either yesterday or on Tuesday's show, that the reason for all this is that they want to they're looking for all the atheists because if they can identify whoever the Catholics and or Christians are, we are not going to put up with the microchip. We're not doing the mark of the beast. We're not going to be controlled by this beast system that comes up. So they have to remove us so they can get the lemmings.
That's true. We are the last stand, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if they take the American... Christian slash Catholic and maybe Jewish, if you want to consider it, but most Jewish people are diehard Democrat voters regardless. But
they come,
they
come around
about,
to New York.
Are they?
Yeah. With the pandemic, like all the chains on the park, they were cutting the chains. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, but did Brooklyn vote for a Democrat mayor again?
I don't think all of Brooklyn, but I know what you mean. It's like mostly Manhattan and Queens. Staten Island is very conservative. Brooklyn is very split. Again, I don't think that the results are not
out there that they were affected by the COVIDs, but they're still going to vote Democrat, even though those were the people that made them have a multiple legal issues. They don't care.
It's wild to me. I don't think that the voting is 100% on the line either. I won't get into that. I won't get into that.
I will say just quickly that I can believe that there could be some skewing, but I hear some of these Democrats out there when I listen to various shows across the country, and I've heard people in Brooklyn say, I don't like the policy about COVID, but I can't vote for Trump.
Ignorance.
So that's where they're at. So I hear it. So I figured.
I don't think the majority are still going for it. I mean, people could say one thing and do another. That's very possible.
Yeah, maybe. But I figured it might be time for me to start putting $50 a paycheck again into crypto.
Yeah. It's time. You know, I did to myself, I should never have done this, but I looked up the price of gold when I was born, and then again when I had, like, my first kid. It was devastating. I don't recommend anybody do that.
Well, you know me. I've been investing in baseball cards over the last couple of years since 2021, so about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done okay. Actually, the card market over the past 12 months has done a lot better than crypto.
Oh, I don't know much about it.
Well, and that's where I come in. So I've studied the market like a fine-tooth comb on the cards, and now that I'm starting to get stuff ready to be put up for sale again, I'm going to be, I'll do okay. There's a lot of videos of people that when there's card shows and people put out stuff for sale, the vendors, they'll put out value bins, which are usually like $1 or 50 cents or something. And there's videos of people going through and finding a $50 card for $1.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they don't know what it's worth, even though they're a card salesman. And at that point, if you're a card dealer, you're setting up in a booth, and it was not a mistake. You put something in there that was that you put for $1. I'm not telling you about it. If it was accidentally put there, I would get it. But if it was put there on purpose, that's your loss. Like, I would
tell
somebody at a garage sale that I may or may not tell them exactly how much it's worth, but I'll tell them this is worth a lot more than $1 or whatever they're putting up for sale. But a card dealer that is doing this as a professional living, I don't have mercy for.
No, I get it. That totally makes
I was
sense.
Hoping that
they
made
are
sense.
Responsible. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's an accident, but they might do something like put everything that has a red sticker is $1. And it's like, hey, it's a $50 card. You want $1 for it, I'll give you $1.
Damn straight. I would do that too. I miss the days when Bitcoin was $15,000. Gosh. I don't think it will ever be that low again.
Yeah, but are you close to having a full Bitcoin? Because I'm only at 13% of a Bitcoin.
13%. That's a look. At this point, you know, less because of the the increasing value. Let me see. Just in there. Oh. 17%.
Oh, I actually lied. I didn't lie on purpose, so I gave I gave fake news. It's 0.13, so it's 1.3%.
Oh, dang. You're making me look bad.
1.3997, so I'll say 1.4%. I mean, I could put a dollar in there now and push it over.
I don't know if a dollar is going to help. It's actually going up.
I'll do it right now. Let me find one to remove from. Ethereum's up 10%.
Yeah, my son's excited about that because that's his baby. This is they're investigating delays with Ethereum crypto spend. So funds are safe and our teams are working on a fix. They're having delayed withdrawals. Yeah, look at that. In one day, it went from 1900 to 2100. It's pretty amazing. Go ahead.
All right, I'm taking out of Galaxy and I'm putting in Bitcoin.
All right. Your own money.
So let's see. Let's see if I'm at 0.14%. Yep. 0.01402622. So yeah, I'm almost at 1.5% of a Bitcoin.
Nice.
But my third biggest holding in crypto is Cosmos.
Crypto. Oh right, and I can't get that one.
Yeah, but one of the reasons I put so much into that one is it's 6.12% interest.
Yeah.
So that's a good chunk of change, 6.12% interest. I know you can't get it, and I'm not bragging to you or anything. I'm just saying that's a good hit.
No. Yeah, you're right. Bad. Say it again, like write it in.
Say it again, what?
The one that you're getting the 6% on? Let me see what it says.
Oh, me. Cosmos.
Cosmos, thank you.
Or Adam, as it used to be called.
Adam, got it. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't say I got 6% here. Nothing. Real nice. Real nice. Ugh. And it's kind of decent value. I mean, I know it tumbled down from like $25, but it's kind of hovering around the same, you know, like $10 to $12 mark. This is pretty decent.
What, Cosmos?
It's not too volatile, except for that drop from $25 to $5. Obviously, everybody went through that.
No, honestly, I think Adam is one of the safest. Honestly, and maybe it is because of that high interest rate that people are staying in it, but I don't see a lot of volatility there. Like Maker lately has been extremely volatile.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You're right. I've been keeping up with that one. Let me see. Yeah, now it's what, 780? Week ago, 680.
Yeah.
Month ago, 620. The minute, 920. So it goes up and down and up and down.
But so you like, have some Maker though, right?
No, I still haven't bought it. I was waiting for it to dip back below 600. I'm being cheap.
Oh.
I should not do that. I shouldn't be so cheap. It's like, I guess because I know Maker now has like a weird pattern. it does this. So I'm like, no, 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 not that. Not in your hair. This is for your hair. I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right, so I know you haven't seen this in a while, so we'll go ahead and get this out of the way. There's a couple of broccolis for you.
Okay, cool. Lay it on me.
So you got one.
Did you see the man? Oh, but did you see the man that I sent you that identified as an actual piece of broccoli? He calls himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pretty cool. Okay, I'm opening it.
So you think he'd be proud of our cartoon?
Yeah. All right. Let me know when. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so this one's called Repercussions, and it features a couple of millennials. So 3, 2, 1, action.
It's that something's out there again. I hate that broccoli person. Hey, broccoli man. Why do you have to come bother us? You Republicans are always out looking for trouble.
You are just mad you white peoples will have to pay me my fat stacks for my slave reparations. California is going to demand that everyone in America pay all the black peoples in California $7.6 million a year just for beezing blacks. Then we finna negotiate an annual payment for beezing a trans.
Yeah, we finna be rich. And you cisgendered white people are going to pay for it. I have to pay for the black reparations because I am the wrong skin color. But at least I am trans, so I will get some of that money's back.
So, how do you think everyone is going to pay this?
They said if everyone who is black gets $7.6 million a year, and then trans people get $5 million a year.
Don't forget LGBTQ plus people get $4.8 million a year.
Right. So if everyone gets their cheddar, it will cost every white person in America who is not gay or trans about $142,000 every year.
That is more than what the average family makes in a year. How are they going to pay that?
Who cares? You should learn how to be trans.
Not my problem. Go work a second job. I don't give any F's at all.
This will bankrupt the entire United States.
What part of I do not care do you not understand?
If you do not pay, then you will get arrested just like your man Trump will be.
I have asked every Democrat I can think of. What crimes did Trump commit?
Trump committed lots of crimes. That is why he is going to prison.
He should get the death penalty for all the bad things he has done.
Well, if he committed a crime, you can say what it is that he did, right? And if you have evidence of him committing crimes, shouldn't you be a key witness in his court case?
Looky something, Ducker. I don't have to do jack squat. He is guilty because he is a Republican.
We should only allow Democrats to live. Everyone else should be rounded up and taken to jail.
But that means the end to the Constitution.
I don't give an F about the Constitution.
You will no longer have rights.
That is okay, as long as Trump cannot be used as a president.
We will become a third world country.
I don't care. I would move to North Korea if it meant not having Trump as president.
We should not be arresting people just because they are not your preferred political affiliation.
Yes, we should. It means you are our enemy.
Your way of life will change with the USA being a third world country. You will have no more food.
I am prepared to eat Z-Bucks and don't see nothing. I will own nothing and I will be happy.
I would rather eat bugs than to have Trump as president.
You realize you will be drafted to go to war to fight China, Russia, Iran, and other nations?
If I get drafted into a war, I want to be sent to Florida and fight Republicans.
January 6th was the worst thing that ever happened in America. All those Republicans wanting freedom.
People that want freedom are fascists.
How is it that people that order you to get a gene therapy, wear a scam, and arrest people for being a political opponent are considered freedom-minded? Yet if you tell someone to do what they want because it is their right, they are the fascists?
Speaking of which, why are you not wearing a scam?
Did you not see any of the mainstream articles about how wearing scams make you even more sick?
I don't care. It means you are supporting Brandon if you wear your scam. You're a communist if you do not wear a scam.
We need every single baby to have that gender changed the second they are born. No baby should ever be the gender they were born.
We also need to ban heterosexual marriage. Only gay marriage should be allowed.
I would live in a dumpster and eat my own feces rather than have Trump as president.
Look, you fool. There's absolutely nothing you can say or do that would ever make me think that a Republican can live with us liberals. We are loving and liberal. You churchgoers and people that want families are what is wrong with America. You will not let us have drag queen story time and let us do lap dances on five-year-olds.
You are also against abortions and kids getting their wieners whacked off.
You are in a sick cult. No society ever allowed diddling kids and being anti-God and lived to be a great nation. We are going to go into the abyss because we turned our back on God.
We are doing great. We are getting paid for visiting a trans, and it is okay for us to beat up people for visiting Christian or Republican or not wearing a scam. It is you that is not doing great because you support tyranny. Screw your freedom.
Hey everyone. We are headed for a national divorce. It is becoming impossible to live with liberals.
You can live with liberals. You just have to listen and obey us.
Anyway, do not become a radical leftist or pro-communist.
What is wrong with communism?
So, you called me a communist, and then you are defending communism?
Yes. Absolutely.
Anyway, do not be like these losers. Please get right with God. Also, check out the Proof Negative radio show. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and always keeps everyone up to date with the real news you need to know about. Check him out at freedomizerradio.com 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Look for the Proof Negative radio show and also the other shows on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
You said he is a he. He does not sound trans. I hate him already.
I like to beat up cisgender people because I am loving and liberal. Now go find your scam and put it on or else we will incite more violence against you, something that cares. You need to be compliant to enjoy the freedom we will give you.
Alright, so that's an episode.
You always say something like that. Man, I tell you, that is like legitimately, it's amazing how the terms have been turned against us that normally were in support of us, and the language has been so manipulated and taken charge over by the left and the media and the musicians and the actors, and everyone is in support of it, and it's just, Yuri Bezmenov warned us. You know what comes next? I think it's crisis. It's when the whole economy and the country collapses.
Well, they're trying to get people to say it's because of the Christians, just like when the financial collapse happened at the Weimar Republic in Germany, they blamed the Jews.
Right. Insane. And there's so many gullible people.
It's incredible how we're basically set up to be just like 1940 Germany.
Right. And it wasn't even that long ago for people to be this film on it. Like, there's this video of speeches. There's, I just put them to bed.
I shared something earlier that said that though there's 1% that are globalists, there's 4% that's the suck-ups to the globalists. And then we have 5% of the public trying to wake up 90% who refuse to wake up.
That's right.
And that's where we're at. Now, that's why we keep getting our butts handed to ourselves.
I feel like the conservative movement is more about not pushing back in a way that matches our opponents. And it almost worries me that it's not going to lead to a victory because of how passive. I mean, we're not talking politicians. The politicians, the Republicans,
yeah, everybody
they are
is basically saying, well, don't worry, Trump will win in 2024 and then everything will magically go away. That's the average consensus of the person on the street that is not voting for Brandon.
Well, we've learned already
Trump. They just vote their way out of it.
Right. Trump is not in control of everything. When people asked him, why didn't he fire Fauci? He said, Fauci has been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, like that was his defense. It was like, that's it. He's fired a lot of people in his time as president.
Yeah, but remember,
he's known
he
for firing
Jared
people.
Kushner telling him what to do. So
that's true. And that's,
for those that
know,
don't know, Jared Kushner's BFF is Alex Soros, George Soros' son. Those two are boys.
Hmm.
And Jared Kushner, if you didn't know, is married to Trump's daughter, Ivanka.
Right.
So, as much as the stuff that Trump got done, he still had a chain around his leg with Jared Kushner, and then he had one with Dr. Fraudy.
Right. Definitely, it shows a lot that he even has limitations. And he's human. He might not sleep a lot. He might be one of those guys that can go and from meeting to meeting, take
mm-hmm.
tons of calls all day, but he's still human. He got sick. He went to the hospital. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
The media made this big thing about him potentially dying. And then when he came out, they were like, look at his mental acuity. It was ridiculous. They ignore Biden.
Yeah. And if you saw, they have Hunter out there. They're pretty much featuring him right now in Ireland.
Oh, are they? Nice. I mean, that family is stinking rich. I wouldn't venture to say they're richer than the Clintons, but they're definitely up there. You know?
So we may as well get the other wiretap out of the way right now.
Oh, okay.
This is this week's episode.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The wiretap taints the food supply.
Let me know.
All right, so we'll do it. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Right there, green dude. You are hereby being detained, sir. How dare you warn everyone about the mRNA gene therapy going into the food supply, sir?
I am not going to let you get away with it.
That is hash fakens, green dude. You will let us get away with it.
All I know is that we are going to save animals and vegetable seeds from having gene editing spike proteins in the food supply.
Don't worry. We've paid every major farmer in the United States to put this inside everything they do. You fuss budgets and Tucker Carlson followers who said no to 75 gene therapies will now be force-fed them into your food.
But won't you be eating this also?
Sir, I will do no such thing. G-Globalist has hired extra personal chefs and gardeners inside his lair. That is only for you 99%, as 1% will have our own food supply.
That is crazy. Why would you not want to eat what you are forcing everyone else to?
That's easy, sir. We have decided we want to live. We need to eradicate all of your 99% so we can take our land back.
What do you mean take the land back? We all own our houses legally.
The time has come, green dude.
Do what?
The time has come to say farewell, to pay the rent, to pay your share. It belongs to them. Let's give it back.
I don't believe this.
I believe it, Green Dude. At this moment we are only protecting those who do drag queen story time.
I would never do drag queen story time. As a matter of fact, I have arrested a lot of dudes for showing their junks to little kids and them demanding kids to touch it. How can you have drag queen story time with no books to read?
That was the wrong choice of words, says Green Dude. It is now law that if you say something bad about a drag queen or any trans person, it is instantly hate speech. That carries a $25,000 fine and 6 months in federal prison. You claimed several negative connotations in most unnecessary outburst, sir. Now, turn around, bright eyes. It's a total eclipse of the heart. I am demanding for you to go through that naked body scanner so I can collect a picture of those famous kumquats.
Yeah. That is not going to happen, dog.
Yeah. That is going to happen, dog. Now for those articles of clothing, Green Dude. I need to check your person for any King James Bible's Easter eggs, or gas stoves hiding inside your junk.
You should be going after the guy that killed the Cash App CEO instead.
No way, sir. He is in San Francisco. Murderers have total immunity there. If you identify as a trans person, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. You run those mean streets now.
There is no reason to give criminals the right to commit crimes. Murder is the worst crime of all.
Well, so you may commit murder if you identify as trans. Did you want to identify as trans? If so, we can provide you a map of Trump supporters and you can have your way with them.
No way. That is about as against God as you can get.
Well, you ignorant dolt. That is the point. We are removing said Christians right now so that it will be much easier to implement the mark of the beast. Those who do not know about the microchip system or are okay with it will be our slaves for the rest of their miserable lives. We are letting them kill the people who are against the system so that we do not have to waste our resources.
I would never be okay with this.
You don't have to be, Green Dude. Enough people will not wake up. They do not care. As long as they can buy their Bud Light, they are happy. Even if put a trans person on their beer cans, they do not care. You can to wake up all those lemmings. If they have not woken up yet, they never will. Everyone is collateral damage. You should just give up already and live in Geolobalist Lair with me and the other stupid heroes, sir.
Why would I ever want to do that?
If you say yes, I can show you exclusive pictures of Big Mike's kumquats. Various Otero does not even have these photographs.
That is disgusting. Why would I want that?
Clout, Gin Dude. It gives us clout. Now you need to put said dungarees and blouse right here, right now in front of my person. If you like, I can expose my kumquats as well. You have complete authority to inspect my junk to make sure I am not hiding any Trump supporters or fake vaccine passports inside my person.
Hey everyone. We need to fight back against these globalists. Letting them start their cashless society and accepting a microchip is in store for us unless you tell your friends to wake up and say no. Boycott all businesses that are signed on to the death and destruction of America. You also need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and always makes time for callers to get in also. Gzo to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. There is also a schedule on the freedomizerradio.com website so you can check out all the other shows and Freedomizer also.
If you dare listen to Freedomizer Radio, I will hunt you down personally and demand to see your junks. We need to make sure you're not making any threats to our global domination. You 99% are all useless eaters that us globalists can do without. For shame, you still have your god, your guns, and your free speech. You all are something that cares that need disposing off.
Okay. Well, that's over.
Well, that's over. Oh, my God. He's hiding things in his junk. That's a hell of a character he came up with there, dude. I had to mute myself because I don't want to scream laugh over any of this.
I thought it started off all funny with them, like they're
in a warehouse and there's like a box blocking them. They're far away in the shop. I was like, what's he doing? So funny.
So
what's up with the door?
So he had some good lines in there.
What was that?
So he had some good lines in there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I don't want to be hunted down by no crazy man who must see my junks and who's into kumquat. Still haven't even tried them. Like, wait.
You still have never tried a kumquat?
Never try. I gotta. You know what? This summer I gotta get out and see where they sell them. I'm gonna. Maybe I'll have to go into a Whole Foods. God help me. You know.
Yeah, or maybe Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I'll check Trader Joe's. I've never seen them in the trade. I go to mine regularly, but never seen it. We'll see. We'll see, mister.
I don't know what other stores you have in your area.
I mean, the ones that you call, like, maybe Ralph or something is, like, I don't have that.
Well,
I have Stop and Shop,
forget,
which
I'm
would
from
be...
New York. I remember when you guys used to have Pathmark and Wall Bombs and AMP and Finest. I remember that.
All of those closed down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, now there's Best Yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we have
King
ShopRite.
Still
no, we have ShopRite, Stop and Shop, Whole Foods, and like local supermarkets like Fine Fare and Associated. C-Town is still around. Yeah,
Key
there's
Food
actually one
Hills.
Near me too. No, no.
Okay. Let's see. Meat Farms I know was big in Long Island.
I'm thinking Associated.
And then there used to be Grand Union.
I don't remember that.
Let's see, and then there was Edwards.
That sounds familiar, but I've never been to one. I've been to... There's a lot of, like, mom-and-pop family type of supermarkets out here.
Yeah.
Like, we have, there's one called the Chico's. They have, like, a few chains out here in Westchester and Orange County. And they're affiliated with one called Uncle Giuseppe's. But they're the kind of supermarket that have, like...
Yes.
You heard of it?
We have Uncle Giuseppe's that... I used to work at a store many years ago, like 30-something years ago, called Food Town. And Uncle Giuseppe's owns that building now.
Oh, that's wild. It's like a gourmet dream. It's like an experience when you go shopping there.
Yeah.
Everything is arranged beautifully.
It
it's
so
photogenic.
Weird. My Long Island bestie and I, we went to Uncle Giuseppe's. We met at that Food Town. And just going back was kind of surreal, and it was completely different from 30 years ago.
It is. And they make their own desserts, and they make they dip everything in chocolate. They make popcorn. They have coffee, thank you, that they allow you to grind up or buy the whole bean. They have a coffee bar where they'll sell you their coffee. Oh, my goodness. It's a whole experience. It's like... They make their own pasta. They have, of course, fresh fish. They have a bunch of fish tanks with all kinds of shellfish flying around in there. Flying around. You hear me? It's exciting.
Yeah.
I've made videos about it to show off.
It seems like a really cool grocery store, but I've only been there once.
It's expensive, but they have all the things that I can't find anywhere else. It's like a one-stop shop. So it's like, you know, bite the bullet, suck up the price. When they put something on sale, it's like, wow, I've never seen it on sale. Everything stays the same price.
Well, we'll see if the economy is doing anything next year. Maybe I'll have to come back for a vacation.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I really
maybe
hope I retire. I really hope so, Proof. I'm supposed to retire June or July. I hear they're holding people. They're so short staffed. I mean, I asked to go out sick and they put me right back to work. It's just, it's insane. And we have unlimited sick. That's one of the selling points.
Hopefully you could retire and move to St. George.
I have to visit first. That's in Utah, right?
Yeah. Hey, Glenn Beck read an article that said that St. George, Utah was voted the most conservative city in the United States.
Is it because of the Mormons?
I don't know. Maybe that was the start of it, but whenever you go there, you see a ton of California license plates, but those are the people that want to live with normal people. You know that the average Democrat thinks of Utah as just, I don't want to say the Aryan race or anything, but they
yeah.
Liberals think of Utah like kryptonite.
Yeah, I get it.
Like,
I don't think of that when I think about
Utah.
I think about beautiful red mountains and red rocks, and I think about Mormons. But there's so many state parks, it's like, that's a dream for somebody like me who wants to own an RV, you know?
Yeah, Southern Utah is a lot better than Northern Utah, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Not just weather-wise, but it's just a lot of nice scenery.
I'm pretty sure I didn't mention to you that my job is going to start implementing 12-hour shifts.
Hmm.
There's going to be days off. It's like, I think it's 3 or 4 straight days, 12 hours, and then, like, you get 3 or 4 days off. I forget which. But definitely not interested in working. I can barely do 8 hours. And you know what's frustrating? Now that I've had 2 hip replacements, technically I am disabled, right? I asked my surgeon to sign off on my permanent handicap tag application because I had a temporary one, and they said that they don't do that. They only give out temporaries. So I was like, all right, well, let me talk to my other orthopedist, the one that I first saw when I first got hurt. And he said he doesn't do it either. So I'm like, well, who the hell? These are the only people that are privy to the knowledge that I am disabled. So why can't they sign off on this?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I know, so I'm going to see if my general practitioner will do it. I'll just bring, like, the copies of my operation reports and maybe some pictures of my x-rays and see if he'll... It just doesn't make sense to me why the person who operated on me won't give me a permanent handicap tag.
So they can't renew your temporary either?
No, they said they only do them for 1 year, and they've given me 2, one for each hip.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're done with me, essentially.
So after a year, regardless of how the outcome was, you're supposed to be fully healed?
Right. Well, they say that it takes a year for that surgery to heal fully. And I say that with air quotes because it took me 1.5 years each side, 1 year and 8 months, I would say. So I don't think that that's true. And I think it's different for everybody, too. Seems that people who are thinner, I was not when I had the surgery. I've lost almost 30 pounds, actually. Now I've been on this carnivore thing. But it seems people who are thinner when they have the surgery heal faster, and men. Maybe it's because I'm a hippie woman, and I say hippie as in my shape. I have wide hips. And at the time, I was probably like 200 plus pounds, imagine. And now I'm working my way away from that number. Everybody notices. You lose 25, 30 pounds, and people like look at you sideways. And there's something to what did you do? Did you lose weight? You look so different. And some people say that I look younger. It's done amazing things for my skin. It like reversed my age. Crazy.
Yeah, but you're
literally.
Well, maybe start to feel younger.
Yeah, I mean, I could use that. But I eat red meat, cheese, eggs, occasionally an avocado, and I try to have some type of fruit, strawberries, blueberries, some grapes, like very little, an apple, one orange, you know, like something like that a day.
Yeah.
I don't deprive myself, but I have very much vegetables. I'll have vegetables like 2 or 3 times a month.
Oh, that's it?
Now I'm really worried about what they're doing with the mRNA vaccine of gene therapy. They're going to give it to cows and stuff, and I wonder how many of the farmers that I patronize are going to be participating in this program.
I've been wondering that myself, because even if it says non-GMO verified, they could still use the mRNA in it, which doesn't make sense to me.
Right. And there's one that a friend brought to my attention. Some company called Good Ranchers, they already vowed that they would not kind of...
Yes, I was going to mention that I heard them in an interview, and they're trying to fight this hard.
But they're so expensive, Prove.
Oh, I know.
I just can't even... Like, I get my steaks from everywhere. I have to hop between all 5 of those supermarkets I mentioned before. Because believe
it
or not, like at the end of...
Well, now you have to go to a dedicated meat store.
I know. I used to have it delivered from a local farm only because I was trying to be supportive. But it got pricey, and I saw that my supermarkets were putting meat on sale at the end of the week. And that's fine because I eat it all day.
That's going to be the difference. Are you willing to pay to not have mRNA in your meat? The one place that I might recommend in Long Island, it's for buffalo. There's a place out in Riverhead called Tweeds.
Tweeds. Mm-hmm.
They have a buffalo farm and then a restaurant's across the street.
Isn't Riverhead like exit 70 or something like that?
I don't remember the exit number. I'm a Port Jeff Station guy, and that's a good distance away.
Let me see. I have a friend, my best friend, lives in Long Island, but she's just like barely into, like she's like exit 30 or something like that, just so close to where I cross the bridge.
I think
like
20
minutes
like
from the Bronx.
Is what, near Huntington or Smithtown or something?
That sounds right.
I think that's where a lot of Long Island, I think, is around that Huntington area. Give or take 10 miles.
You know what sucks too about my best friend visiting her is that she's Jewish. Not that she's Jewish. She only eats kosher food, and she's already paying a pretty penny for that.
Mm-hmm.
So she found a place in Brooklyn where she gets good stuff, but it's not that cheap, you know.
Yeah, or the other option is that you might have to relook at Misfits Market and Imperfect Foods and call them and make sure that they're not doing it, which I'm going to have to make that call anyway.
Other than that, it's about
finding your local butchers and seeing who's not participating.
Right. I have 2 farms that are very close to me, and then I have the farm that was doing the delivery, so I'm just going to have to stay privy to what they're... I know that they they raise ducks and chickens and they have cows, but I don't believe that they have a huge production line, you know? Like when I go, they have like one small fridge section with fresh meat. Because they have some slaughtering going on. They do like a big turkey thing in November. It's frustrating. They're expensive to begin with, you know? And then raw milk is illegal. Like, there's just so much I can't get in this state.
Yeah, we have to, if we want raw milk, we have to go to Utah.
Dang. What the heck? And then I look at these milks that I was shopping for, organic milk, milk that is supposed to be like A2 milk, and they all say ultra-pasteurized. And I just learned recently that that's probably one of the worst things they could do to milk. It's bad enough that they just pasteurize it. But when they ultra-pasteurize it, they do it like two times, and the temperature is up higher. And then they artificially restore vitamins and nutrition back into the milk that it already had. They just burned it out. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I've switched over to almond milk because of the sugars.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I like the sugars. And, you know, milk is hydrating, so I chug that stuff. I actually got into this juice. I wouldn't call it a juice. It's an electrolyte drink called Good Sport. It's milk-based. It's delicious.
Okay.
And it's sweetened by monk fruit extract, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, I've been getting back into a lot of tea with stevia. And I'm also drinking a Zevia soda right now. So I'm doing grape flavor with zero carbs, zero sugar.
Nice. Yeah, stevia is our best bet, honestly. Even Truvia changed the way that they manufacture it and they process it. And when they first came out with Truvia, it was fantastic. And something changed, and it's awful. But I read somewhere that they...
I thought Coca-Cola bought Truvilla or whatever that is. Truvia.
You don't remember?
Didn't they purchase? Isn't that the one that they purchased?
Who purchased?
Coca-Cola.
Good question. That might explain the change. Let me see. I'll do a quick search.
Because my thing is, I only do stevia leaf extract. I'm not doing any offshoots. If it's not stevia, if it's somebody else's brand name of stevia, I can't verify if they did something to it, so I just don't touch it.
Yeah, it says Truvia is a brand of stevia-based sugar substitute developed jointly by the Coca-Cola Company and Cargill. I wonder. Oh, Coke with stevia used to be distributed worldwide, and it started slowly losing sales, and now it's been discontinued.
Coke Life, you mean, in the green can?
I don't know. It says, whatever happened to Coke with stevia?
What's
that? Oh, wow.
Sorry, it looks like I'm going to have to... See, I still have a PICC line in my arm, and I have to do the, even though I don't have any more medications, they want me to put saline and stuff in it. So my wife just got home, so I'm going to have to take a couple minutes and do that.
All right. Do you want to play a clip?
I could, or if you had an article, either way.
Okay, I can read.
It's up to you. I'll probably need like 7 or 8 minutes. So... I could play a clip, though, if you want.
Do you have anything around that length of time? I don't want to make you scroll and search through and kill time doing that.
All right, let's see what we have from yesterday here. So, no, we could play that. We have a Tucker Carlson clip of politicians now mimicking civil rights leaders.
Stuff. All right.
So we could do that. All right, I'm going to play it.
Let it roll. Awesome.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Once you decide that human beings are gods, with the power to rewrite history, biology, and nature, the power to shape reality itself. Once you decide that, there's no reason to stop at sex changes. Transgenderism is certainly faddish at the moment. None of us can stop talking about it. But men magically morphing into women is not the final stage of anything. Instead, it's the first of many similar movements that are on the way inevitably. And the few visionaries who have grasped this obvious truth, weirdly, have not been welcomed by Blue America. They have been mocked and derided, as prophets always are. A few years ago, for example, a blue-eyed blonde woman from Montana called Rachel Dozol declared that she was black because she decided that she was black. Blackness was Rachel Dozol's lived experience. But she was not greeted as a liberator. She was almost immediately booed off the stage, and then she disappeared. And yet, tellingly, none of the people yelling at Rachel Dozol ever explained why she couldn't be black. Why not? In this country, you can change your sex, but not your race? Really? How does that work? What species of science are we talking about here? It was not a defensible argument. And so over time, like all indefensible arguments, it will collapse. Someday, the New York Times will give Rachel Dozol its coveted glass ceiling award for her courage in the face of prejudice. That will happen. But before it does, we'd like to highlight some of the early adopters of our new civic religion, where each of us is God of the universe with utter dominion over nature. These are the trailblazers, the pathfinders, the Daniel Boones of progressive identity politics. One of them is a man called Justin Pearson. Pearson has been in the news recently for helping to facilitate an insurrection at the Tennessee State House. You may have seen him. But you may not know what Justin Pearson was like before his transition. Back in 2016, Justin Pearson was an earnest young student at Bowdoin, the whitest college in the whitest state in America, a place that costs $60,000 a year for no obvious reason. A rich kid's school. Here's what Justin Pearson looked like then as he ran for president of student government.
I'm Justin J. Pearson, and I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation? I want to bring together different voices, dissenting voices, voices that may be more liberal or more conservative, in order that we can reach a point of sort of the radical middle, where conversation and dialogue happens and growth happens. Join the People's Pearson campaign, and let's chart ourselves to a better future.
I want to bring everyone together, said Justin Pearson, in a voice that if you closed your eyes, you could easily imagine coming from a suburban orthodontist. Justin Pearson wasn't white, that's probably how he got into Bowdoin in the first place, but he did a fantastic impression of it. What a nice young man, as he considered the apprenticeship program at Citibank. That was the old Justin Pearson, before his transition. Here he is now on the floor of the Tennessee State House.
All hope seemed to be lost. Representatives were thrown out of the state house. Democracy seemed to be at its end. Seemed like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
Justin Pearson has a dream. That one day on the red hills of Georgia, everyone will do exactly what he wants or else face indictment by the Department of Justice. Justin Pearson has changed quite dramatically, as you can see. He transitioned from a crypto white kid into the modern incarnation of Martin Luther King Jr. himself. It's remarkable, really. But he's not alone in that. You see this all the time. Everybody in the Democratic Party wants to be Martin Luther King at this point. Even Joe Biden, who during the famous March on Washington was enjoying the many benefits of life as a college student in a racially segregated state. Now, he's MLK. They all are. But you got to ask yourself, as long as we're mimicking civil rights leaders who died almost 60 years ago, why not some variety? You never see politicians transition into, say, Malcolm X. Why is that? Maybe because Malcolm X didn't talk like a sharecropper. He spoke dignified standard English. He wasn't running a shakedown racket to fleece guilty white liberals. Malcolm X had self-respect, so he despised guilty white liberals, and he said so. He believed in self-improvement. He knew who the enemy was. So maybe it's not surprising Malcolm X is not a popular transition choice in 2023. Al Sharpton, by contrast, is increasingly popular, especially now that he's skinny and has a paying job. Sandy Cortez of Westchester recently pulled off a double transition. Not only did she change sexes, Al Sharpton identifies as a man, but races as well. Here she is unveiling her new self in front of Sharpton's own National Action Network.
I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. In other words, yo, my brother, sup. That's not bad for a girl who grew up in an all-white suburb in leafy Westchester County as the daughter of the president of an architectural firm. But don't mention any of that. That's dead naming. These days, she'd like a gin and juice with salsa and frijoles because Sandy Cortez doesn't just transition once. She keeps transitioning. She's a cutting-edge shapeshifter who collects identities the way Imelda Marcos did shoes. So she started life as a privileged white girl, then became a middle-aged black man engaged in the civil rights movement, and then in October, she transformed effortlessly into a Latinx cartoon character. Watch this. Okay, I cut you. You may call that fraudulent. She calls it transitioning. They don't talk like that in Westchester County. But she learned this from the very best. Barack Obama paved the way. Obama grew up with his white mother and white grandparents from Kansas in an apartment in Honolulu, a city that has approximately zero black people. Then he moved to Indonesia, then California and New York. But at some point, Barack Obama decided he didn't want to be any of the things he actually was, so he transitioned. He became, because you can do this now, an African-American Baptist pastor from Chicago with deep roots in Mississippi. Here's Barack Obama post-transition in December.
And John Lewis, even in his 70s, wasn't tired. I got no excuses. I can't be tired. If the men and women were to endure the sting of discrimination, the smack of belly clubs weren't tired. If the folks who had to fight those early fights, those were the tough fights for union rights and voting rights and gay rights and women's rights. If they didn't get tired, you can't be tired.
Barack Obama is sick and tired of being sick and tired. It was the smack of the billy clubs in Honolulu that did it. It was the fire hoses and snarling German shepherds at Harvard Law School. At some point, Obama crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge of his mind and transitioned into Ralph Abernathy, except an atheist and much thinner. But Hillary Clinton was there first. She transitioned when he didn't even know what the word meant. And in some ways, Hillary made an even longer journey. She was identified by an obstetrician at birth as the daughter of an executive from the suburban Midwest. But inside, she always knew she was very different from that. She was trapped inside a body that wasn't hers. But it wasn't until 2007 that Hillary Clinton finally mustered the courage to identify as what she was all along, a politically aware gospel singer from the segregated South. Here she is on the Chitlin Circuit in Alabama.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
Performing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at Constitution Hall. Joe Biden actually was born in a slave state, and as we mentioned, for the first nearly 30 years of his life, enjoyed all the many perks of living in a Jim Crow city. But that's not a story that audiences are interested in hearing a lot about at this point. So Joe Biden did what we are all now allowed to do in modern America. He erased his former identity. You saw this recently with the trans admiral. He declared it never happened. You can't know what happened. It's a dead name. And he transitioned into something else. So Joe Biden still grew up in a segregated state, but now he was the one at the back of the bus, feeling the thump of the billy club, the sting of the fire hose. Joe Biden is now black. Watch.
the senator from Florida going after Medicare and Social Security? I tell you what, I don't know where, as they say in Southern Governor, I don't know where y'all been. Hot damn, boy.
Hot damn! Hot damn! And at no time in his life did Joe Biden ever support segregated schools in Delaware, contrary to what Kamala Harris told us during the Democratic debate last time. Kamala Harris has forgotten all about that because it never happened. And in Kamala Harris's case, there's a whole palette of identities to choose from. So here you have someone who is the daughter, technically, or was identified at birth as the daughter of a Jamaican college professor and an Indian college professor who grew up in Canada, in Montreal, Quebec. So actually, Kamala Harris can be essentially anything she wants. And 2 years ago, she transitioned and became a baguette-eating, beret-wearing, bicycle-riding French lady. Here she is.
With us in government, we campaign with the plan. Uppercase T, uppercase P, the plan. And then the environment is such that we're expected to defend the plan.
In France, we call it fromage and speak in broken English. Too bad the Ukrainian accent is so hard to master, because a lot of these people would already have transitioned into refugees from Kyiv. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly...
All right, so, yeah, do you identify as anything?
An American?
Yeah?
Ridiculous. Yeah, totally. What the heck?
But the truth is that that's not the average American. It's just that those are the average loudmouth Americans. So everybody
right.
else just wants it to go away.
You know, if you were in another country and saw our movies and heard our music and saw our musicians and looked at our politicians and people in the military, you would think this is a very weak country that is run over by circus animals. You wouldn't think that it had any type of conservative foundation or values or morals or anything. Like, you know, just, it's chaotic from the outside. But then on the inside, we have this struggle among Americans where there are people who don't want any of that chaos. They don't want the military to be represented by people who are, you know, transitioning from one gender to the other and, you know, kids mutilating themselves because they don't feel like they're born in the right body, and just everything that I mentioned, it's so frustrating.
So I got one for you that'll take about a minute. I got to show you this one.
Yeah.
What would you say if a man decided to take their dog in for gender reassignment?
No, stop it.
All right.
No surgeon would take that. No way.
Okay.
We want to do no. gender transition to the main thing. But we don't want to neuter him.
I'm sorry, I don't
authorize you to be recording. So we're just filming a documentary for his transition.
No. You guys don't offer sex
no.
changes here?
No.
That would be,
what
yeah.
Those?
Those are some expressions.
That's very transphobic.
What do you mean?
Let me explain to you. So basically, like,
right.
A male dog, but
I got it.
But every time if we put a tutu in front of him, he'll put it on right away.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call that behavior though. We were saying gender identity is behavioralism.
No.
I want you to leave. This is my property. I want to leave the property. Okay. I'm going to charge you for trespassing if you continue to stay.
So we.
Go ahead and start
we
recording.
Can't do a gender transition.
I'm just telling you, you got to leave the property.
I'm reporting this to the LGBTQ plus minus 2.
Wherever you like.
No way,
okay.
Dude. No way. I mean, yes way. I believe it. I'm amazed. Do people stop at nothing?
No.
Everything?
Yeah, if
everything
you decide
has to be...
that you're going to be trans and every pet you own has to be a trans.
My God, PETA would have a conniption. What a terrible organization PETA is. No, they're all woke. They don't believe anybody should own a pet. They think they should all be euthanized because they should be either free or if they can't live out in the wild, then they should be euthanized. Nobody hears that part. I don't know how that's never been made clear from PETA's constant time in the spotlight. And all the donations people give to them is just to help them euthanize animals and take them from owners' homes and loving arms and put them to sleep. It's amazing. Sorry, I hate PETA. With a passion, with a fiery, burning passion.
Understood.
Thank you. Sometimes I go on their Facebook page just to troll them and the people who support them and think they're doing a great job.
All right, so let's do this. So we didn't play Dan Bongino today. He has a video regarding FU politics that I think you'll appreciate because that's what the other side does to us.
Right. Sounds good. Some of
that. Here's Joe over in Ireland. Not only does he take Hunter Biden with him in a big double barrel, but he introduces him and says, I'm very proud of my son. Here, listen to yourself.
In fact, I'm here with my sister Valerie. And my youngest son, Hunter Biden. Stand up, guys. I'm proud of you.
Now, a sane person would be eager to make this go away. Eager to make this go away. But in smash mouth FU politics with the Democrats, they don't care at all. You see how this creates Vinny-like uncertainty now? You're like, I'm not sure I want to fight this guy. He seems awfully confident for the underdog. Think about it. He is the underdog in this scenario. There is a mound of evidence proving that at a minimum there's illicit activity going on with the Biden family and foreign nuclear-powered enemies of the United States, at a minimum. There's a possibility of criminal activity. There's a possibility of criminal activity. But because they know they'll create uncertainty in the GOP and that they will not back down, they just plow straight ahead. So lesson number one we can learn, and again, I understand this may make some of you uncomfortable, but we're fighting a really tough fight in a really tough time. You're not ready to play smash mouth stuff, and you're ready for cutesy time. This show definitely ain't for you. Tell your political opponents to go F themselves and do it publicly. Probably one of the reasons Trump was so popular. Trump had a way of doing that. They told him over and over about the press. Don't fight the press. They buy ink by the barrel. Big, huge mistake. Trump said, you know what? Not only am I going to fight the press, I'm going to make the fake news the centerpiece of my campaign. Seemed to work out for him. Here's lesson number two. We're going to bury cutesy time today. No more cutesy time here. GOP strikes, immediately strike back while telling them to go F themselves. So the GOP hits them. The Democrats don't wait. They don't wait for the political winds to settle down. They don't wait for the tide to recede. The GOP strikes them. They immediately strike back. They strike back furiously. The F go F yourself them. They do it publicly, but they do it quickly and they don't wait. They don't wait to see what's going to happen. They don't wait to see what story is going to emerge about it. Here's a perfect example of what I mean. So, the GOP in Tennessee expelled two of the three insurrectionists who caused an insurrection on the Capitol floor in Tennessee. I thought the Democrats were anti-insurrection. Turns out they absolutely love insurrections as long as it's their guys and ladies in this case. Two of them were expelled. One of them survived, the female lawmaker. They didn't wait. They didn't wait to find out what these guys really stood for, if they were worth defending. Matter of fact, there's a story I'll give you in a second here. It's now emerged, a story about allegations that one of the guys had engaged in street violence in the past, one of the insurrections. I thought they were against violence and insurrection. Joe, they told us on January 6th, violence, insurrection, put them in the gulag. No, not for their guys. Here's an article in Slate, far-left radical outlet, Slate. Democrats can be Democrats and win. Tennessee Republicans punished two state representatives for daring to protest gun control. What happened next is a model. Here's Slate. What happened next? We said we don't care. We engaged in an insurrection on the floor, Democrats. This is Slate saying we should do this more. You then booted our guys out, and we then immediately reappointed them. We didn't even ask. One of them, matter of fact, here's an article someone passed on to me from Scoop Nashville in 2021. One of the insurrectionists, Justin Jones, they called him Brother Jones, Joe. Brother Jones says he wasn't violent, but new video shows he was, and the grand jury agrees. This is an article about him allegedly attacking a guy with a traffic cone. This is one of the insurrections. I thought the left was insurrectionist violence. I thought they didn't like that. So let's just recap. Lesson number one, tell your political opponents to go F themselves, do it publicly. Lesson number two, the GOP strikes, immediately strike back, telling them to go F themselves again. Do the flipperoo, we should be doing the same thing. Democrats strike, we immediately strike back. We'll worry about the political ramifications later. Only fair, right? Folks, cutesy time's over, man. Cutesy time's over. You want to play cutesy time with a pending attack by China and Taiwan, nuclear-powered enemies of the United States amassing at our shores, 5% plus inflation every month, our border wide open, a fentanyl crisis killing our kids? You can do that. I'm over with it. I'm sorry. I'm done with this. So. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please.
But he's
brilliant.
Exactly right, though.
That's right. Brilliant.
It's like, why do we just let them walk all over us and then we have to take the high road?
Right. People taking too literally that, you know, someone strikes you and once you give them the other one, like, we're not supposed to live like that. Being pushovers. It's messed up. Look at the girl who, Chaya Raichik, she's the head of, founder of Lives with TikTok. She had a journalist find out where she lived and her family lived, and she went to the door of all of these people to discuss the impact of this girl's Twitter account.
Which I don't understand, because it's not like she, Lives of TikTok doesn't do anything except share videos of liberals.
Right, she doesn't even put a commentary. She just puts the video.
Right.
And, I mean, commentary with her personal opinion.
You would think
opinion.
That they would appreciate that. Someone's pushing out their agenda.
Right. No, they saw it as, because of the comments underneath it, and because it's called Libs of TikTok. Libs is, I guess, the derogatory term for these liberals. They knew it was satirical. But the thing is that the same, I think her name is Taylor Lorenz. She ended up getting doxxed, and she had people come to her house. And she was in an interview with NBC or something crying about how mean people were and how unsafe she felt, and she was fearing for her life. And I'm just like, well, how do you think Chaya and her family felt? The lack of self-awareness is unbelievable to me. Zero.
No, and I just don't understand
journalist.
Why it is that liberals would get so angry when all they're doing is promoting what they're doing. So
yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, the woman who founded it ended up writing a book.
Right.
She wrote a children's book. So she's flourishing and moving out of the, I guess, that box. That's a full-time job, proof, posting social media like that. And she has a job, or she had. I'm not even sure how she's doing now. It's amazing how the journalists have access to that kind of personal information, that to be able to find out where somebody's account info, go into their DMs, find out their address through their IP location. Like, this is just, it's insane to me. They
and
don't
that's
go that
why
hard
I
for
VPN at all times.
Right. They don't go that hard for any real news stories. They'll tell you that something is Russian disinformation before they go and do any research. And you have people, average Joes like myself. I wouldn't dare say you are an average Joe, but I had people like myself just go and do a quick search and look into something very briefly. Not even an hour of our time and we find out much more information that's been put out by our supposed to be trustworthy media. Embarrassing.
Yeah, but if we're in the middle of a coup, that's what the globalists want. They want you to be compromised.
That's right. Somebody put together a compilation of photos of school lunch from around the world. It's just the fresh food that these other kids eat in other countries compared to American kids where everything's processed and full of sugars. It's no wonder, like, childhood obesity is up, what, like 300% or something like that in the past few decades, and we have kids consuming almost 70% of their diet as something that's been processed or as artificial. It's horrible.
Oh, wow. Somebody just sent me something here. I have Chicago Cubs will be the first Major League Baseball team to sell CBD-infused drinks in their stadium. So speaking of what you were just talking about with all that drugs and stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to be retired. Get to try all this fun stuff, but I don't know. Is that like a thing? Drinking? I have no idea about CBD.
Yeah, I'm not a CBD person, so I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm just not. I'm not even remotely interested.
Understandable.
All right, so what's next here?
Yeah, like the clips. I don't get to keep up with Dan Bongino, especially his show. When does it air? On the weekends?
No, Monday through Friday, the same time as Alex Jones.
Really? Was it like 7?
Let's see. So Eastern time, that'd be noon to 3, I guess.
Oh, geez, that's really early. No, I did not expect that.
Well, it's 9 to noon for me.
No, but Bongino, he has like a weekly, or is it a daily show?
Yeah, his radio show is daily, unless he's doing other stuff.
Yeah, he's got like a Fox 1 hour show. I just can't remember.
Yeah,
the name
Saturdays.
Is it Saturday? That's what I thought.
I'm going to share an article with you if you can help me decipher this.
Yeah.
Because I had this up earlier for me to bring up to you. So from Zero Hedge, Elon Musk says Twitter users can now monetize any material and keep all profits for 12 months.
What happens after 12 months? What the heck?
So maybe at this time next year or after you're in for a year, then maybe you have to pay for it. I don't know.
That's weird. I mean, I do pay for Twitter, and it's really weird. I appreciate what he did with getting people to be able to have that blue check mark, because I think that a lot of the people who had it were very arrogant about their position on Twitter. But now that anybody can have it, it just really leveled the playing field, and it's really cool. At first, I think a lot of people did it to troll, but there are some childish people on Twitter who are actually mocking other people for having the blue check mark.
Hey,
like, will you pay for it?
They're calling in at the same time here.
Oh, boy.
I think one of them you probably expect.
Yeah.
All right. He called first. Let me bring him in first, and then I'm going to screen the other caller.
Okay.
It's a big conspiracy.
And I'll bring them in a few minutes. So I'll be right back. I'm gonna.
It's all a conspiracy, V. It's been exposed. Banks are buying up gold like crazy, they're saying. And people
That's
think
right.
everything is fine. Banks are going great. When they really should be buying in lead and copper and brass. You got too many idiots that just don't agree in carrying a weapon. And a friend of mine was at an Easter party. They have my best friend's family. He died. I visit every once in a while. I don't talk to his daughters no more. One happens to be my goddaughter. She basically told me to go fuck myself because she saw me with a Trump vest on, my Trump vest. And she's from the woke. She's from the woke culture. One of her sisters called me racist when there was nothing to call me racist. So I didn't say nothing that was even remotely racist, but they had to do it. And this was around the time that Cuomo signed that abortion, the Reproductive
right.
Act of New York. Right when they,
yeah,
when they removed
that 9 months
the 28-week, when they removed the 28-week rule, and there was no limit. So I turned around and I said, "Well, you can get an abortion in New York State up until 9 months, because there is no 28-week rule no more. There's no limit, and no matter how she could gaslight me, that's all she could do is gaslight me. She says you're wrong. I said I'm not wrong. They took the 28-week rule off, and basically you get an abortion up until delivery day or when the baby's crowned. So she said, well, why don't you debate me over abortion? I said, I'm not going to debate you over abortion. If I did, I don't have enough crayons to debate you over abortion, because you called me a racist a couple of days earlier. And, you called me racist, you dummy. You called your father racist. So, well, let's set off the whole world. And you're a piece of shit. I don't know why my father's ever friends with you. Blah, 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 blah. F you. And I'm like, really? My daughter was like totally mortified. I said, what'd you say? She said, I just said I don't have enough crayons for her. And, she's 20-something years old, and she knows shit about life. Her boyfriend went down to 125th Street right after the Uncle Floyd show protest.
Uh-huh.
And they kicked his ass. They put him in the hospital. he's trying to get blacks to show. He was trying to show blacks that they weren't black enough. I'm guessing that's what it is. That's what happened. So what happens? They flee to Colorado. And I turn around. And I says, well, look at that. She used her white privilege to get out of here. And I was like, well, that's one that's done. But anyway, he was talking to my doctor friend. He was talking to the brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law says we have to have more gun control. I mean, he asks him, why do you think that there haven't been any school shootings in New York? And he goes, why? He says, because of New York's strict gun control. I'm like, is he out of his mind? Does he really believe that?
They do. They believe every ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. My doctor friend Leo, who he's after speaking with me, he armed up. He's like, I've never felt more safe in my life. You know, thank you. He always thanks me. But anyway, they think that they really nothing's going to happen to them. because of the strict gun laws in New York, and yet you had that one. Did you see the video of the guy that shot the guy up in the smoke shop in Manhattan?
Yes, I did.
Wasn't that brutal?
It was disturbing. He just right in some.
I mean,
he did it from behind because he's a piece of crap coward.
Well, the guy just, the guy was walking out. Like, they didn't even look if there was anything bad. It looked like they said something to each other, and that was it. And the guy got a gun and shot him. Then shot him again, and then rolled the man.
Right.
And it turns out he was released on bail from, I think, a Bronx homicide.
Yep.
And when the cops went to lock him up, he shot it out with the cops. 30 hours before that.
Right.
So what's going on here?
Right. And he was out, another repeat offender. These people not being, they let them out because they don't want any more people in the prisons because they want to close the prisons. Progressives hate prisons.
They want to find other ways of correcting a person's evil
But instead
ways,
of implementing that first, they want to do away with what they hate, and then they want to figure it out afterwards. They don't have a plan.
Yeah, but they have no idea. They're making it up as they go, and I'm telling you right now. I think Curtis Lee was saying on the radio the other day when he was talking about it. I says, no, it wasn't Lee. It was Dominic Carter. He said, at what point, because I called up years ago. I had called up when he was on terrestrial radio. The black guy, he was on ABC. I forget his name. But I asked him. I said, this is when things were just in their infancy. I said, at what point do we start pushing back? And he said, I have no answer for you, Vito. I have no answer. And then Dominic Carter, when he was talking about it the other day, he said, at what point does this blow up? I mean, he basically said people went crazy over Floyd. All right? But
that's right.
You're telling me that this is acceptable now? This is less than Floyd? This is affecting all of us. You know, like it or not, whatever the cop, you know, the cops did in Minneapolis, all right, fine. They got punished for it. You didn't have to tear down the whole world for it, but you know, this was the Marxist. This was a Marxist agenda, and you know, they succeeded to some point to get, you know, this defunded and that defunded. But look at what it's gotten. Look at what it's gotten. It's gotten. It's exposed BLM to be a total, complete fraud. All right. Or everything that they've put in as far as defunding goes is blown back on them. But we're the victim. We're the ones that are suffering. And we have an asshole for a governor, Hochul. I call her Horkel. And she, without making a demand, you know, to change bail reform and, you know, or to adjust bail reform, and she gives them a raise. She approves their raise. They're laughing at her.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah, but it's
she wants
liberal,
to put in.
Bro.
She wants.
You gotta understand that. It's liberal.
Yeah, but proof. This is like negotiations. That's all you got to do. Even David Patterson, who was kicked to the curb by Cuomo and the Democrat Party because he wasn't a bad governor. I can't say nothing bad about it, other than he was a blind man. But other than that, he wasn't a bad governor. When Cuomo was coming into the picture, they kicked that dude to the curb. They said, you know what? Get the F out of here. We don't need you. We're going to go with Cuomo now. We're going to go with Whitey. And that's what they did. Absolutely, that's what they did with Patterson. Even Patterson said it makes no sense what she's doing. Now that she was trying to put in a moderate lawyer, a judge for the appeals court, the Senate said, don't even bother. We're going to ignore him. And what does she do?
Right.
She submits a leftist judge now without even negotiating for anything. She just throw him in there.
Huh.
So,
well, yeah,
so
but it's liberal, though.
Where we are. Yeah, it is.
Just
proof.
Like you
it
have
is,
all this rampant crime in New York City, and they say they don't know how to fix it, and let's just keep putting more liberals in there, and let's make bail reform even worse. Let's do everything to help the criminals, and then we're gonna wonder what happened.
Honestly,
and that will blame
I
Trump.
I don't know if they could make it worse than what it is.
Oh, they could.
I mean, other than maybe telling the person that they apprehended, listen, we can't process your arrest now, but come to the precinct tomorrow, we'll process your arrest. Now, other than that, that's basically it. You know,
well,
they can go back to what
de Blasio was trying to do and arrest the Jews.
Well, that's what he was trying to do?
You don't remember when de Blasio was there and all the Jewish people did not want to get vaccinated or whatever, so he started arresting some of them?
I don't remember that. I do not recall that proof.
Oh, wow. I'll have to see.
Honestly,
if I can
I
dig
do
up
not
some
recall
clips.
That. Wow.
I'm going to bring another person in here. V, I don't know if you met Leslie before. She was my co-host for a bit.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, who's your co-host?
What's up, Leslie?
I think about you. Hey, what's up, my friend?
Hi.
I love listening to y'all. Hey, oh. Yeah. Oh, my God.
What gun did you end up buying?
Huh?
What gun did you end up getting?
Oh, not gun. I have no gun. I have no gun. I have the only guns I have are if I flex my right and left arm, I have two tickets to the gun show. But that's a lame joke.
Nice.
But yeah, I was listening to Blasio. They were putting people in jail, and it was only within a specific. It was in like a very specific zip code that was very specific to a Jewish community, and they were not allowed to leave because if they left without their vaccination papers. Well,
yeah.
You know.
This
know
was in regards to a funeral. This is where it started because the Jewish people wanted to go to a funeral, and he said, no, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to start arresting you because you're not vaccinated.
That's right.
Insane.
Yeah, I'll see if I can grab you the clip here, Vito.
It's insane, Poof. It really is insane.
Oh, I know. I don't know if Eric Adams would be able to do that, but de Blasio did.
Adams is a complete mess now. We're over $4 billion and counting in the hole now for because of the illegals. We already overspent $4 billion, and he's asking Washington for money, and Washington is going to give him nothing.
No. Looking up the clip.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that video
de Blasio,
shot in the store. Guys.
He broke up a rabbi's crowded of
No, go ahead.
Yeah. He I was looking at it, but it said that he was basically, let me see. I found they keep trying to get hit behind a paywall. Okay, so the New York City Mayor de Blasio expressed his sympathy for the loss of a rabbi in Brooklyn, but condemned the large gathering as it put more people at risk of, air quotes, exposure, air quotes. And, yeah, I mean, that was April 29th, 2020. I mean,
that's crazy.
How many times do they need to be told, show us your papers? I thought the one time they were told was more than enough.
De Blasio is known as Wilhelm. That is a German name.
De Bozo.
He destroyed the city single-handedly, man.
Yeah, but people would vote for him again if he was there.
Yep. No, that's how, you know, listen, that's how stupid New Yorkers are. They really are that dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have all these people in New York City that that are bragging about the fact that they honestly believe Trump is going to be arrested for 136 years.
He's going to get elected as president, man. These people better all wake up. They do not understand what's coming. They have no clue. None. No clue they have. And all they're doing to themselves is they're shooting themselves in the foot, in the mouth. You know, they're slowly getting, working their way up to their heads, where then they're going to realize, you know, maybe it wasn't a good idea to vote like this.
Oh, they don't understand.
You know, and I always tell people, you know, you think the government's here to help you, but do you think it's the job of the government to protect you? Because the police have no duty to protect me. Again, when I say that, they look at me like I'm crazy. But it says to protect and serve on the side of the car. On the car, I say, yep, that's all psychological to make you think that. Supreme Court rule.
Well, they're to protect and serve the state. They're not there to protect and serve
exactly.
The citizens.
They're there to protect the
people. People don't understand that.
This is what they don't understand. They do not understand that. They are there. Not, they are the machine's military arm. That's all they are. All right. Yes, we all have parents and officers have died in the line of duty, trying to do the right thing, but in the end. They really don't care. They only care that you know that they're looked out for, and not the citizens.
True.
Oh, did you hear that kid Mulvaney? What's his name? The one that's pretending to be
a woman.
Yeah, he is now the spokesperson for Oil of Olay.
Hmm.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So I guess this is another company that believes they have too much money and it's time to liquidate assets.
I don't understand. You know, where is Gloria Steinem in all this? How can a man be a woman?
Dude, there's a list of companies that
have. That's all.
There's a list of companies that have paid Dylan Mulvaney, Ulta, Procter & Gamble for Tampax.
Hold on a second. Are you serious about the tampons?
Yes.
Dylan got paid for those ads. For just saying, use them, but I'm going to carry them around and give them away.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's a spokesperson. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't accept a tampon from a gay man, and I'm not trying to be really rude here, but... No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank
you. Yeah,
that's
very personal. Right. Like, first of all, nobody should know that I'm menstruating first. Okay? It's a personal, private thing. And then to tell somebody who thinks that they're a woman that does not have a uterus, ovaries, fallopian tubes, cervix, vaginal canal that they were born with, and the XX chromosome, that... I could use a tampon from them because they carry them around in their bag like they're some type of accessory because everything they wear is a damn accessory.
Well, don't forget, Mike, on the Millennials team on Broccoli Man, he carries tampons at all times.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're a birthing partner, I guess.
Yeah. You chest feed your child.
I'll tell you something funny. I go on Twitter and they were discussing Malik Obama, Barack's brother, saying that he has proof that Michelle Obama is a man. So I get the picture of Michelle Obama before and after, and this is before Bud Light, after Bud Light. Anyway, on
Michael's
Twitter,
a nice lady though.
Yeah, sure. And on a Twitter thing, you have people, well, I'm a Republican, and I think it's disgusting that you have to say that Michelle Obama is a man. And that's because, and people are going, because she is a man. Have you ever seen Michael Robinson and Michelle Robinson in the room together at the same time? No. No one has ever seen them. But we do know that they're, and another woman said, but she had kids. I'm like, oh, my God. These people are just.
Yeah,
let me give you the list.
We need to see a picture of those kids when they were young, like really young.
They look like their biological parents, and not Barack and Michelle either.
Let me give you the list of companies that rewarded Dylan for mocking women.
Mm.
Besides Bud Light, Nike, right? You got MAC, the cosmetic company. Ole Henry.
No.
MAC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plaza Hotel.
Oh.
Crest,
wow.
Toothpaste. Kate Spade. OkCupid, the dating app. Svedka Vodka, excuse me. Urban Decay, the makeup company. Walmart. Mugler. I don't even know what that is. Rent the Runways, when you rent dresses. Like, you know, you get them shipped to you and then you mail them back. Aritzia and Charlotte Tilbury. These are the brands paid him to be an ambassador,
backpack.
A model, a paid brand partner for all those brands.
I just got a new Kate Spade backpack. I mean, it was huge.
Sorry.
Granted.
Still.
And
I bought it
at the store, but still, like, I'm going to be wearing that around because I will.
Unbelievable.
Because it's the only backpack I have right now. It's not completely tore up. I don't. I'm a little upset here.
Yeah, Dylan Mulvaney's rich now. And you know, they celebrated the 365th day of him being a girl, as he puts it. He never says being a woman.
Why didn't they celebrate when you turned 40? Because you spent 40 years being a woman.
Well, because I don't have 10 million followers on TikTok.
Oh.
Well, you know, I've spent 46 years being a woman, to the point where my body is saying, you know what, I think we're good. We're good. We've already proved our point. You had a kid at 41, so we're going to shut down. I'm at that point of womanhood. And you know what? Nobody celebrates me yet, as they should. I'm like, uh-uh. And yet he just declares himself a woman. He didn't have to deal with the weird cramps when he was 12. The horrible cramps when he was 11 or 12 and not knowing what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the oh my gosh, did I start my period feeling when you're in like third period and you knew that you weren't going to have time for a bathroom break for another 2 or 3 hours? V, you know this story. You know this story, the oh my gosh. I just stood up and I am scared, you know, like what? Yeah, no. No, he never felt that.
That's right.
You know, he never had to throw away a pair of panties or do some deep therapy with some peroxide on a pair of jeans. No. No.
I know, they think that you put on a dress, you slap on some lipstick, you grow your
Audrey
hair out.
You can pretend to be the Audrey Hepburn, and there you go.
You take some estrogen, and you just,
insane.
You identify.
Insane.
Well, you know what?
I'm
growing a little bit of a beard right now. Does that make me a man? What can I get for being a man? Because
I don't know about the beard.
People get mad at me.
My testosterone levels are probably, you know, kind of up a little bit because I am a woman in my mid-40s, and, you know, that estrogen progesterone balance testosterone, a lot of times testosterone wins, you know, all those things that you hear, like if you drink that strong coffee, you know, later on you're going to get hair on your skin or hair on your chest. It turns out they were not wrong. It just, you know, took a little bit of time, you know? So, yeah. You know, how about those of us that have to pluck our chin, should we just stop plucking our chin and demand a man discount? Or, you know what, maybe, because we're doing this agenda thing, I'm going to start saying I'm a man.
And then you could start doing drag king story time.
I sure as hell will.
But don't cut your breasts off. Whatever you do, like that's
heck, yeah, no, I'm keeping my boobs. Are you kidding? No, there's
good,
a certain amount of power with some double D's. Heck no. they're staying on, and they're real. I earned these by breastfeeding my children. So heck no, I earned these. But you know what else I earned? I earned
the term is chest feeding.
On my chin.
Yeah, you mean chest feeding? You
no,
bigot.
These were my boobs. These are my boobs. They were my woman boobs because I was a woman, and I still am. And I, but you know what? I've got chest hair, so now I'm feeling a little dysphoric.
Chest hair. Listen, lady, you got me worried. You're worrying
I've
me.
I've got some chin hair going on. I'm not gonna feeling dysphoric, nor am I feeling postal. Holy Jesus, help us all.
Hmm.
Sorry, didn't mean to go on a rant there.
Ooh, let it out.
I should mind my manners and be the little lady I should be, but you know, Lord help us all. Bless their hearts.
So we have one other person I want to squeeze in here if we can. I think everybody here on the call knows this particular gentleman.
Bobby Bianchi.
Yes.
Hey, gang, how you doing, sir?
All right.
You know why those transvestites have to wear diapers and tampons? Because their Spencer muscle is all tore.
That's right.
It don't perform the function that it was designed to do.
Yeah, who was the one that was telling me that there's a guy now that identifies as a 2-year-old?
There have been plenty of people that have identified themselves as, like,
yeah,
two,
but if you
identify one and
as
half.
A 2-year-old, why are you buying alcohol?
Exactly.
Yeah, they should.
And somebody mentioned Davastio earlier. You know, the it was a pill on the Central Park 5, and they was asking for a new trial. Well, the prosecutor said, well, let's try him. You know, I feel sure that our evidence will find him guilty.
He paid them off.
Yeah, you're right. Davastio turned around and said, well, let's just go ahead and pay him.
Listen, I was a cop when that happened, and the investigators that handled that case, they all said they got the right guys. There's no doubt in my mind that they got the right guys.
Did you know that was a Forest Park 5 in St. Louis? We have a park there in St. Louis called Forest Park, and you had 5 black males that beat the hell out of this elderly white guy. But nobody talks about that.
Shame. Listen, we're almost at that point of no return, so it's going to
be
fun.
My favorite pizza place, Vito, my favorite pizza place where I was getting the deep dish downtown St. Louis, Calico's, is closed because of the crime.
They went out of business?
So they closed their doors. Customers drop off because the area gotten so bad that nobody come down there anymore. That's on Broadway too. But you guys keep talking. I'm a little.
Oh well. When good pizza's hard to find, especially when I'm driving around.
We went to Culver's Den on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going down to South Carolina, hopefully tomorrow, and I'm hoping to stop off at the Culver's. I really am.
Yeah, there's two in the Dallas area that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I'm in Indiana. I'm heading to Hershey, Pennsylvania,
and then
I was saying that for Leslie.
Yeah, well, right up to go on Percy Highway, my friend, you're going to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yep. Never been there before. There's always a first time for everything.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Don't get old, folks. The joints just don't work good no more.
You got to take something for that. Glucosamine, chondroitin.
Do you know what I bought the other day? I bought frankincense.
Oh, good.
I put that on. I use it as a topical on because I have my wrist has got is really painful, and that stuff really works.
Yes.
No kidding.
I would put Bengay on it. I would put Tiger Balm on it. Nothing. I put frankincense on it. I'm like, the pain goes away like almost instantly.
Well, a couple days ago, I started putting frankincense on my wound on my left foot, and I'm hoping it works. It's going to take a while. I have to break up scar tissue.
Yes. Scar tissue.
It works.
That's my biggest issue with my knees.
Helichrysum also helped with both of those issues.
Yeah, I have some. I'm starting one at a time.
Yeah, frankincense. Well, frankincense is pretty much, you know what? It's pretty much good for everything. It's one of the holy oils. Now helichrysum comes from sunflowers, but frankincense comes from the boswellia tree, or however it's pronounced. It's a very powerful oil. You can put it on your. If you've got gum disease, periodontal disease, spray it on your toothbrush. I brush my teeth with, I use tea tree oil, and that helps.
Oh, wow.
Oil pulling is a good idea.
Oil pulling, I heard about that.
Yeah, and if you've got a burn, colloidal silver and... coconut oil, you know. Coconut oil is a good thing to just add the stuff to. Just rub it in.
It's cool.
I put frankincense on my knees, too.
Yeah, the stuff works great. I could not believe how fast the pain went away in my wrist.
Yeah.
And it lasts for hours. It lasts for hours. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because my knee's been hurting me lately, too. And now I know what I'm going to do to knock that out. I thought it was hurting me because I'm turning into a man. And maybe I'm dealing with some growth pain. I guess I'm just going to have to identify myself as a man these days. I've got some hair on my chin. I need
it
a few million dollars.
To do, really. All you have to do is make the claim.
I need the money is what I need right now. Divorce is not cheap, although, I'm certain in the end the cost is absolutely worth it. I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I hope so anyway. Looking for some frankincense, and maybe it'll help me become a man. Because I've got the, like I said, I'm growing a beard.
Laser hair removal.
Why don't you just go to a doctor and get estrogen?
No, because I don't have insurance right now, and I don't have any way to see a doctor. Woo. Now, that was a lot of frankincense.
And it doesn't even take a lot of frankincense. Hey, Proof, you mentioned Alex Jones before. He's back on the air?
What do you mean? He's never left.
Wait a minute. he's doing podcasting?
He does live shows.
Yeah, he's on Rumble.
He does live shows. You just go to Infowars.com. You could play it East Coast, noon to 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And then whatever affiliates Infowars. He's on the East Coast, I don't know. But I listen to him every day.
Okay. No, I hadn't listened to him because they took him off of regular podcasting. And, all right, here it is. Okay. Is Mike Adams still on there or no?
He comes on as a guest every so often, like once, maybe three times a month or something.
Yeah. Well, I accidentally spilled frankincense all over me because I did. And I should have more hair coming out of my chest. Coming out of my chest. Yeah, that too. I knew something was up. I've been drinking my coffee stronger these days. I've been drinking it while trying to read the news. I started peeing outside. What other stereotype things for, especially for, you know.
You scratching your crotch?
You know what? I have been doing that.
Check, please.
So much information happening right here. It's like a faucet.
I stopped wearing makeup. I'm going to wear some beard oil. Maybe it'll help me grow some oil. Grow some more of my beard. Help my beard come in nice and lustrous. Not really sure what else is going on, but I guess I could carry some Tampax in my backpack because I stopped wearing a purse. I can just put it in my backpack. I guess I'll go back to my Betsy Johnson backpack. But because I have a Kate Spade backpack, but my Betsy Johnson backpack's a little busted up. But I guess I could wear the Kate Spade one. Put that in, carry my tampon in case I meet some young. In case I meet some non-binary.
Did you know sometimes some of these dudes like to wear a maxi pad? And they'll make a concoction of red slurry and put it on the pad so that they're emulating having a period.
Oh my God!
It's sick. It really is sick.
They get cramps when they take estrogen. They get lower abdominal cramping. But,
good. I hope they take more.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they'll never understand it until it feels like their uterus is trying to. I don't know. It feels like it feels like maybe an anvil, like one of the, I don't know, like an anvil has dropped upon their uterus. And then you hear that, meep, meep, you know, like maybe one of the Looney Tunes. And it's like an Acme anvil. You know the feeling, you know, and it's right there on your uterus. And you're like, oh, this is really painful. And you're in so much pain. You're not quite sure you're going to be able to make it, but, you know, you're expected to wear a tampon and then go horseback riding like the commercial suggests, and that's not how it works.
Sounds like a disaster.
Anybody can have a period. I guess it's just another day in the park. Maybe it's just another day horseback riding. Or climbing mountains, or doing all of the things I never do, ever, and most certainly would not want to do when I'm having my period. The Diva Cup might fly out violently, you know? I mean,
all right.
Yeah.
No offense,
sorry.
It's just time to change the topic.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean
it's
to go
time.
Overwhelming with the... It's been a while since I've been on the air. I miss y'all.
How long has it been?
I think probably sometime last year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, I miss y'all.
What keeps you from having your own show?
Well,
I'm
she
going
did.
Through a divorce. Yeah, I did have my own show for a while.
Right, I mean, like,
I'm going through a hellacious divorce.
Hmm.
And if I did, it would probably just turn into like a telethon fundraiser or something.
That sounds good.
I don't have any, you know, I would just be like, no. Turn it into
Did you guys ever watch the movie Margin Call?
What's it called?
I don't know it.
Margin Call. It's about the 2008 collapse.
I heard about it.
You have to watch that movie.
What is it, on Netflix? I don't watch Netflix.
No, it was on. I think it was on Pluto. If you have Fios, it's on demand on Fios. It might
I don't
be
have
on Pluto Fios. TV.
Okay.
I don't know how else to watch it, but that movie is so wild. You know, it encompasses a 24-hour period, how they discovered that everything was about to come apart. And, you know, they went about selling everything, dumping whatever they had. And, you know, the market, you know, then we know is the market after that changed. The world changed after that fiasco that was caused by Clinton and Cuomo.
Sounds good.
I bet that is very good. I'm going to type that in because I want to watch it.
You have to watch. It's unbelievable. And it's funny because in the movie, I don't want to give it away, but there's a scene where the CEO says that money is just made up. It's just a bunch of paper with a bunch of pictures on it, so people can buy food, can buy things, and so they don't have to fight over it or something like that. It's all made up. And I'm like, oh my God, man. I mean, there should have been Academy Awards for that movie. It should have been, but they weren't. I think that might have been one of Kevin Spacey's last movies, too. Before his world fell apart.
So, V, I think I'm Dylan Mulvaney'd out. You don't have to send me any more stuff.
Okay, you got it. Like, that really just blew mine. Anyway.
Yeah, but I have no interest in seeing what this particular person is doing with themselves.
Good.
I mean, the thing he did, the ad he did, the bubble bath.
Gross. I'm so thankful for Matt Walsh.
It's really.
He would not back down from this. He even made the documentary, What is a Woman?
Yeah.
It was wonderfully done.
Woman? And he was asking women. He was asking doctors, what is a woman? And some doctors
they couldn't answer him.
What is a
so
woman?
So how would did they say who's supposed to be able to answer it then?
They said that a woman knows. But then when he asked women, they were stumped.
Hmm.
What is a woman?
Doesn't that say something in the New Testament about people going, who are wise becomes foolish or something like that? Maybe it's the Old Testament. Ugh, I gotta look it up. Just all the things that are coming in the end days. This is it.
Hey, you ain't kidding, man. The doo-doo's about to hit the fan soon. I'm telling people, you better buy. You seen that face? You better buy guns, man.
Yeah, really.
Because when you dial 911, Like a friend of mine, he texted me the other day. He says, you know, they could really fix a lot of these shootings if they just banned assault weapons. And I responded back, assault weapons do not exist. It's a made-up term. Get over it.
And then they'll say, yeah, but what about AR-15? Like they're acting like they're smart or something.
Yeah, well, AR is Armalite, the first two letters of the manufacturer.
That's right.
Yeah.
AR. It's not...
It stands for assault rifle.
And if I was to have one, it would be stainless steel, 17-inch barrel. I'm saying this. With a couple of 30-round magazines. It came from my rack. I'm only saying if. It's a sick world, man. It's a sick world. And I keep a gun in my truck with me. I everywhere I go now, I go with a gun. You know, I don't play, it's a little 25. You know, it's not going to knock you down right away, but if it hits the right spot, it's going to kill you.
That's true.
Just leave me alone.
Show's almost over, Proof. It's crazy. We made it. Did it
again. I know. The outro music's about.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
It was nice talking to you, Vito. Thank you. Love you.
Yep.
Yay.
Thank you, everybody, for calling.
Miss y'all.
It's great hearing you, lady.
Buy a sweet sour, a Glock 19. Good guns.
All right. So on that note, I have to finish up here. So. Everyone, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just a negative show here, but until Monday, hold on to that handrail, hold the vibe, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I'm Emily.